Hey, thank you for listening to another episode of the Virtual GM Podcast. Today, myself and Spencer are going to cover Southern Utah Hospitality Guild. We had them do a tour of our property today. We're going to give you 4 incredible tips for building a successful hotel website, and we're just going to share with you what happened in the last week. We can't wait for you to listen. We hope you enjoy the episode. Oh, welcome to another episode of Virtual GM. I am your host, Cody Aiden, and here with me today, I've got
Spencer Halford.
And we're going to do something unique. This is what we're going to do every episode going forward, but what we do at our meetings. So if you've listened to our podcast before, we operate on EOS, which is Entrepreneurial Operating System. And so you have a level 10 meeting every week for like your executive team or whatever markets you have. And so what we do is a segue because it allows everyone to get an understanding of what people accomplished last week, one good thing professionally and one good thing personally. And it's a great way to connect with the team, and it'll be a great way for you guys to connect with us. So Spencer, do you want to kick off our segue for this week?
Yeah, I just had an amazing week. So we'll always start with the personal and business. So I'll start with business. This week we were able to host the Southern Utah University Hospitality Guild, and I always love doing that. It's my second year being part of Vibrant that we were able to do that. And these students come from Cedar City, Utah, and they tour our properties through the Zion Canyon and just had a really great experience with them and showing them what it's like to work in hospitality. And for me, at least, it was really cool to see our growth year over year and see all the new properties.
Yeah, a lot of new properties.
Loads of new properties, lots of new clients. We didn't even talk about like all the marketing clients that we have. That was a great win. And then last week, my girlfriend and I went to we went to the St. George Arts Festival and just absolutely loved that. Have you been to that?
No, where's it at?
It's just it's not Ancestor Square. What's that park that's across from Judd's?
Oh, yeah, like by the Children's Museum, that park over there where the fountains shoot up out of the ground and stuff.
It's huge. Yeah. They have like vendors from all over the country come.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, and the weather was perfect finally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last weekend was great.
Yeah. So got to go and enjoy that. It was great.
Okay. I'll start with my professional. I've been teaching and talking at SUU for about 5 years now, but I finally got asked to talk at Utah Tech, which was awesome. That's our local university here in St. George. They don't have a hospitality program, so I'd never gotten that intro before. But I was doing a podcast on the Beyond Net Worth podcast. And as I was walking in, someone was walking out and we started talking briefly, and he's a professor in business at Utah Tech University. And after we talked, he was like, "Hey, will you come talk at my class?" And so I was like, of course I will. So I got to do that to a bunch of students on Tuesday, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I went over Winning the Moment Vibrance history and backstory. And after the professors came up to me, there's two of them, and said, "Man, we absolutely love that. Will you come and talk at the lecture series next Tuesday?" So now I get to go in their lecture hall next week and do that. So I'm super, super excited for that. Something that's to do this year is get to speak more. And then personal, last Sunday was Easter, and the weather, as you already mentioned, was absolutely perfect. And we have a pool at our house that got done on Halloween of last year, so we've never really been able to use it. Like, we've heated it up and tried to force it, you know.
Yeah.
But we actually had sunshine and it was absolutely beautiful, and we did a big barbecue and had the neighbors over and the kids, and it was just a magical day. It was awesome.
How much are tickets to your pool?
They're free for you.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah.
Well, $20 if I don't know you.
That's perfect. Okay, great.
Yeah, come over anytime.
That's perfect. All right, well, I'll be over there. That's sometime soon.
Okay, I look forward to it. So let's transition and talk about SUU. We can talk a little bit more about them coming and visiting today. And so they were here. It was yesterday.
I know.
Man.
This week has been.
Yeah.
We had a really busy week.
It's felt like that for the last couple of weeks. I mean, the week before that was insane.
Yeah, we looked at the calendar the week before that and we're like, oh, wow.
There's no time.
There was no time.
So the SUU Hospitality Guild, the way that we got working with SUU is we were doing the Southern Utah Tourism Summit. That's an event that we started back in, I think, 2018. You know, Breck had this wild idea that we needed to put together a tourism conference for Southern Utah because the state had theirs. But the problem was no one attended it from Southern Utah. The first year that we ever went was in Vernal, which is awesome, by the way. Their conference center is absolutely incredible. Yeah,
Vernal is really great.
Yeah, it's a great place to have a conference. And so we went up there for our first one and were blown away with the event, but realized there was nobody from Southern Utah there. There was no participation. And in order for our voice to be heard as Southern Utah, we need representation, you know, totally. Because obviously the people who are putting it on and are in charge of running our marketing are going to listen to the audience as they're sharing their perspective. And if there's no one from Southern Utah, there's no way for our voice to be heard.
Totally.
And so we decided like, man, I shouldn't really say we, cause this is Breck, decided like we're putting on a conference. And in typical visionary fashion, this was like, I can't remember when the dates were, but we had like 55 days to put it together. He was like, yeah, we're doing it.
Oh, wow. That's a short window.
Tourism conference is on board. Like, let's do it. And he comes to Jocelyn and I and he goes, all right, I got $5,000 from Washington County Tourism Office. Do you think we can put on a conference for that? And Jocelyn and I are like, no, we can't, but we can get other sponsors and we can try it, you know? And so we realized like, all right, well, let's get all the tourism boards together. So we put together like a little committee that was now Greater Zion, Iron County, Garfield County, and Kane County. Mm-hmm. And went out and got sponsors, and we really put on an amazing event. So it was an Electric Theater here in St. George. I think it was max capacity. It was like 280 or 300 people attended it. One day event. It was amazing. We pulled it off. It was really incredible. And there was such like the audience loved it so much. There was like a desire for it to keep going. And so we decided we'll rotate through every county.
Yeah.
And so the next year we went to Iron County, which was amazing at the Hunter Conference Center. And so, Maria Twitchell, who ran Iron County, asked AJ to come on to be a part of the committee that we created because she was obviously leading hospitality at SUU and
totally.
The conference was at SUU. So it was a perfect fit. And from that, we've just built a really great relationship with AJ. I know she's an avid listener, so she's going to love this.
Hey, what's up, AJ?
Hey, AJ, how you doing? Happy birthday, AJ. It was her birthday yesterday.
Oh, what? Yeah. Happy birthday, AJ.
Yeah, it's a very, nice. Very special happy birthday to her. She usually celebrates her birthday with Vibrant because it just so happens the tour is always on her birthday. But this year she had to go to Price for the UTIA conference and the Utahs of Tourism board meeting. That's today. But so we built a relationship with AJ. That's where we started going and speaking at our classes and been doing that since 2018. And then she started this hospitality guild where these SUU students come down to St. George and visit our properties. And actually Kyle just did a post about it. He did one on LinkedIn and he also did
one on the LinkedIn. Yeah.
And he did one while he's riding his bike yesterday about how 2 years ago he was one of the students in those seats.
True.
You know, and Breck asked at the time, he asked everyone in the audience, what do you guys want to do in hospitality? And Kyle said, I want to do what you're doing.
You know what I realized? We didn't ask the students that.
I know. Yesterday. I thought about that when I read Kyle's message. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. As soon as you said it, and I had remembered from the previous year that was asked. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Seriously, that guy who said pillows.
Yeah. So last year when we asked the students what they want to do, one student said he.
And there's a language barrier.
Yeah. But. And he said pillows. So to which I replied, okay, great. So FF&E, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Kyle responded, he wanted to do what we do. And then as we were at the dwellings, he's like, hey, so I'd really love to work with you guys. Do you have a card? Got his card, set up an interview with him, and ended up hiring him. And it was like a couple weeks later, Breck's like, hey, what about that Kyle kid? We got to hire him. I was like, oh, yeah, it's done.
I already did.
He's coming tomorrow. And it's crazy to believe it's 2 years already. And it seems like Kyle's been there forever now. But
I know.
Yeah. It's really a cool story. And for him to watch his progress from being a student in the classroom to talking to the students yesterday, and then to think he went and then did a training for a company on how to manage their social media within that same day. Like for him, I'm sure that was a real cool moment to look back and see how far he's come.
I really think it takes him full circle because when he came on that trip, and granted, I wasn't there on that trip to meet Kyle, but I was there last year and got to see him engage. And then I was here this year and got to see him engage. I don't believe that he would have been able to have the foresight to look just a few years into the future and understand that he would be teaching social media to a company.
A multi-million dollar company.
Correct. And I would venture to say too, like Vibrant as a whole, between Kyle and Emery and just the marketing team, but especially Kyle really has led this charge. I believe that Vibrant is probably one of the best in the industry at social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at so Kyle taught one of our clients a social media training yesterday because they're a client who travels all over the place.
Plug to this client, Utah Luxury Tours. Check them out, UtahLuxuryTours.com. They are awesome.
So they've got these guides taking clients all over, really, because they really go all over the place now, not just Utah, Mount Rushmore, all kinds of cool places. And so they're in these iconic places, but they weren't getting the content. And so Kyle obviously can't go on all the tours with them. So he just did a training with their guides yesterday and said, like, here's what I need. Here's what I'm looking for. This is how long you need to record for. Don't overthink it. Just press record. And he showed a bunch of examples. And then he showed the raw video that one of their guides, Joel, had done. and then showed them what he turned it into on Instagram. Yeah. And so if you're watching this, go look at Utah Luxury Tours. It's the one where they're walking on like a rock spine.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's absolutely incredible.
There's a really cool arch in it. If anyone wants a copy of that or wants that training, send me a message on LinkedIn or spencer@thevibrantteam.com. And we can would happily email it to you, or Kyle would happily do a quick training with you and show you how to make these reels.
Yeah, if you're not ready yet to commit and have someone do it on your behalf, then, you know, knowledge is something that we're more than willing to share.
Totally.
And so if you guys are interested in that or how to go about that, I'm sure Kyle would love to take you through the training.
He really did an amazing job, and it was really cool. He showed side by side, like, here's a reel that we made. And I love that one with Utah Luxury Tours. Like, here's the raw video. And it's a good video, but Kyle was able to edit it, add trending audio to it, and then make it something really special. And then what he did next to it was cool, was he showed the analytics of it.
Yeah.
How many views, how many shares, how many saves, and then how many impressions. And the shares and the saves on some of these things were absolutely amazing. Like that Greater Zion e-bikes video that we talked a little bit about last week.
Right.
That thing had over 20,000 saves.
I couldn't believe that.
28,000 shares.
I knew it had gotten up to almost 7 million views.
Yeah.
But I just had no idea that it was like shared in that capacity. I mean, that is truly remarkable.
That is
insane. Or that so many people saved it, you know?
The saves are big because people will go back through their saves periodically, right? And just see like what they saved, what they liked. And then that share count is just going to keep growing. And that really is such an amazing video of Zion National Park. And it's what everyone wants to come and experience when they go to Zion. And it really is this like intimate boutique luxury experience, those e-bikes up the canyon.
Oh, it's the funnest. I've experienced Zion in many, many ways. Yeah. I at one time owned a slingshot rental business. If you don't know what a slingshot is, it's made by Polaris. It's got two wheels in the front, one in the back.
They're cool.
And that was my, they are really cool actually. Yeah. And that was my first business that I owned in the canyon. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just going to be incredible.
Was that at Canyonland Village?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We rented it out of the visitor center. It was a visitor center at the time.
Oh, okay.
The staff would rent it and we had a website for it. And
how many were there?
Online. We had two.
Okay. And did you just park them on the side kind of by unit one?
Yep.
Okay.
Cool. And so I thought that was the coolest way to experience Zion.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And then I've obviously been through there with Cars for Kids and a bunch of exotic sports cars, totally. Which is obviously amazing also.
Yep.
But nothing is better than the bikes.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like this joyful bliss that like throws you back to childhood.
Yeah.
And then it's just easy because they're electric. And so they give you all the juice you need.
Yep.
And so you're able to just have this incredible, especially if you go like in the golden hour, the canyon's not busy.
Yep.
The sun is changing the color of the rocks and you're just in it and you're in and out of shadows. And it's just something about it. It's just incredible.
It's so amazing. We're going up tomorrow.
Oh, I'm jealous. Oh, I know. I'm thinking I need to take my kids back up there because it's so fun.
You know what I realized the very first time when we were up there yesterday, they have those bikes that you can put a kid in the back.
That's what my kids did.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's awesome. They loved it. Because they're just like riding with their hands out.
Yeah.
Just like having the time of their life.
Was it interesting to pedal with them back there? I mean, it's an e-bike, so it doesn't make it that much harder.
Couldn't even really tell. And I had Olivia on, my daughter. She was 8 at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a full-grown child.
Yep.
And it still caused no concern whatsoever on the bike. It was able to just power right through.
I told Kayla, I was like, jump in the back of this.
Kayla could 100% ride in the back.
Absolutely. Yeah. But then she was like, I ain't riding in the back of that.
You should at least do a portion of it with her in the back of it. And
that would be fun. Yeah, maybe we'll rip it in the parking lot and then film that and save it for a fun memory. But
yeah, I mean, you could take her all the way up the canyon in the basket if she wanted.
She'll fit perfectly back there.
You wouldn't even feel the drag at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, it really is incredible. And what's exciting, too, I don't know that we've really talked about Greater Zion e-bikes much on the call, but that's a business that Vibrant has some ownership in, and we're now getting our second location in Springdale, which is awesome. So we're the first e-bike business within the canyon to have two locations, which is super exciting, and the new one is right by Oscar's, which is, you know, probably the most popular restaurant in Zion Canyon, across from the Bumbleberry.
It's part of that Deep Creek
Coffee, part of Deep Creek,
which is my favorite coffee
place. It's just a whole ecosystem right there.
Yeah.
Of people walking around and experiencing Springdale. And so, and across from like Springdale Candy Company, all the places that people like, oh, you got to go to this place. It's in the heart of that. And so we're really excited for what that's going to do. And yesterday when we got there at like, what time was that? About 12:30. Mm-hmm. They were almost sold out.
Oh so, yeah. I think we only had like, what, 8 or 9 bikes left?
Yeah. I was going to say about 10 bikes. So, I mean, they're just doing amazing. It's been really fun to see.
Yeah, I love that. And to have a little bit of access to it just makes like the weekend so much fun.
Yeah, right.
That really is like the heart of hospitality. That what we're all talking about right now, Breck owns a property that's called Watchman Villas. You can check it out at watchmanvillas.com. And it's 5 units, four units are in one building, and then there's one unit in another building, and it's on the top floor. And then on the bottom floor, I'm knocking my microphone here, made a noise. On the bottom floor is what we call Canyonland Village, and that's where these e-bike rentals are. And it's really cool that these villas are so close to these e-bikes, but across the street from that, or even right next door, is like the Hampton.
Yeah.
And so having these really intimate, cool family memory building experiences so close to all these hotels is such a no-brainer. But if you own a hotel and you are like Salt in Ilwaco,
yeah,
that'd right. be a great place to put some e-bikes, right? Or I'm trying to like the 505.
Yeah, downtown.
Oh, man. That's like e-bike-topia.
Yeah.
Or even like some electric scooters.
Yeah, right.
Or something
yeah.
like that.
Right? When we went to Portland a few years ago, that was like when scooters were new and
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, the cool thing.
And we'd
yeah.
get the scooters all over the city. It was so fun.
Oh, that would be a cool place yeah, to go. I've never been to Portland, but I've always wanted to go.
I don't know you want to go now necessarily, but this is like in 2020 and it was still pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think there are some parts. My brother just moved there. But
How's he liking that?
Well, he's lived there before.
Yeah.
So he knows what to do and what not to do.
Sure.
But I think he lives in, I never know how to pronounce the name. It's like Tigard or Tigard. I can't remember how to pronounce
it. Like a community or is that a town?
It's a little town just outside of Portland.
Okay, so you know like how a suburb of Portland.
You know how like Salt Lake and Bountiful like touch, but they're yeah. different cities?
Yeah.
Same thing. So he lives in that community. It's like where Nike's headquarters is and stuff like that. It's like the nice part of Portland
Got
or
it.
The greater Portland area. But I mean, he'll tell me like if you go to downtown Portland, they're like, there's like homeless police, but they don't like go and push them out of inconvenient places. They like bring them like water and like warm
well, yeah,
food
they get to like because Portland can get cold, so most of their hotels have like that pork share, like that little yeah. space, you uh-huh. know, in between that to the outside, and if they can live in there and they can't move them.
No, they cannot. In fact, Jordan, we should have him on the podcast soon. He has a really interesting story. He's in Eugene.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that yesterday.
Yeah. So the 505 was a kind of mixed use. Some people lived up there, like in apartment style. Some people rented business suites up there. And when he bought the building, he evicted all the tenants, but this one person wouldn't move out. And that person technically had squatter's rights in Oregon. And those squatter's rights forced Jordan to pay him to move out of the building that he owned.
That's crazy.
Which is shocking. And the guy sent him a demand letter. And I can't remember what the amount was, but I do believe it was north of like 10 to 20K. It was a lot. And I can't remember. We'll have to ask Jordan. I can't remember the amount, but he did have to pay him to get out of the building that he bought.
That's the craziest
Which
thing.
Is the epitome of bullshit. Like,
yeah, no kidding. That's ridiculous. No,
that is terrible. That would never happen here.
No.
No. Yeah. So stuff like that. But yeah, he thinks Portland's okay. It's mid.
Yeah. Okay, so circle back to the story that we somehow got off topic of. So SU was there. We always start at the Cliff Rose because that is obviously the crown jewel of Vibrant Management. That's where it all started. Mm-hmm. And really, genuinely, that's where it all started.
Oh, yeah, Breck slept. He grew up there. Yeah, you know, slept like, in the room that we were at.
He was, you know, like Bane was raised in the dark. Breck was raised in the Cliff Rose, you know?
I hope he listens to this episode.
And so it is
born in the Cliff Rose.
The Cliff Rose is us, you know. And so Correct. That's where we started. It was fun because Arnold, who's the concierge there, was able to come down, share his story. He'd worked there for 7 years. And that's mm-hmm. what's so unique about the Cliff Rose is most of their staff is highly tenured.
Right.
Like one of our housekeepers was actually Breck's nanny as a baby and is still there. Yeah. I think she's worked there for like 30 years, uh-huh. you know, like. No one has a more tenured staff.
Yeah, his Christmas tree is part of the grounds.
Yeah, no, it's and Dale's ashes are spread there in a tree. Uh-huh. And then there's that block with all the handprints, which it's got Dash, who's the general manager, and each of his brother's handprints who both work on property, and Brex and Collins and Allison. So it's truly this family property. And
right.
You can feel it when you're there. And so there's no better place to start than at the Cliff Rose.
Totally.
And then we went down to Watchman Villas, which we talked a little bit about, the vacation rentals. And what was cool is that we've been trying to figure out. So when the Dockstaders designed this multi-use property, which was always Dale's vision, like that's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. The idea was always to have a coffee shop with like a retail space and then the units. And so we started in the very beginning. I think
they got exactly that.
Yeah, 2016.
That's cool.
We started with the visitor center, which was great at the time, but we could never find a tenant for that space. So then we ended up moving into it with our own restaurant called Barefoot Taqueria. Amazing food, terrible execution. So for those of you listening, if you're interested in hospitality, I would opt to not go into the restaurant part of it.
Yeah. Travis, the owner of the bungalows that we manage,
even share the exact same sentiment. Yeah.
Going to lodging, not restaurants.
I failed in both of those, Breck and I together. We're still paying that off. And so, we're still paying the taqueria off every month.
Oh God, I did not know that. Yep. Oh yep. No.
Still paying that puppy off. So I get it reminded every 30 days about my failure, which is great.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. So then that, you know, came and failed. And then we rented e-bikes out of the taqueria for a little bit. And we had the visitor center. Then we eventually moved the e-bikes into the visitor center and just turned it into an e-bike rental space. And now Feel Love is open and operational. And it was so cool to be there yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Feel Love was popping. There was a bunch of people in there, a bunch of energy. And then the e-bike place was absolutely packed. I mean, almost every bike was gone. They're renting bikes out the entire time we were there. So just to see the vision like come to life. Yep. You know, and be functioning at such a high level. It was just really cool because when I started in hospitality, Breck took me to Canyonland Village and it was still under construction. Mm-hmm. So like
I've seen some of those pictures
since inception, you know, so to be there yesterday with the students from SUU and just seeing all of it really come together as it was intended was a really cool thing. And it was great because the students were able to get their Feel Love coffee. And I think they had a really great time, you know?
Totally.
And then we went down to the bungalows. And what's so cool about the bungalows is Travis is so humble and such an amazing owner. And I thought the way that he shared his story of hospitality with the students, mm-hmm. being willing to come, it was cool too, is he had garden gloves on because he was in the middle of like digging a trench or something.
Yeah.
And so it was great to share that story that like, this is hospitality.
I love the story that Travis shared about how he started breaking down boxes in a mm-hmm. retail center. And he's worked in the Zion Canyon for a long time.
Oh, he's been up there for probably like 20 or 30 years, I bet.
Yeah. But his intro to it was in retail, just cutting and breaking down boxes.
Yeah.
Slowly moved into managing the stores, owning the store, selling the store. Somehow got moved into...
Parlaying it to a property.
Correct. Got moved into restaurants, which he still owns, a very successful restaurant.
An amazing restaurant.
It's delicious.
Whiptail Grill, if you come visit Springdale, make sure you go there and get the tri-tip tacos there.
Everything at Whiptail Grill is an absolute slapper, as Cody would say.
Yep, and amazing views. You get to sit outside. It's an old converted gas station, which is really cool. And when you sit outside on the deck, I mean, you are just, boom, Zion right there. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So he owns that. And then on a land swap for a paid parking lot, which someone else was going to use, he was able to acquire a really great parcel of land and build, it's 11, 12?
12.
12 really great independent units. And just had a really pretty, I don't want to say it was luck, but I mean, he built for over 20 years this path for him to have the bungalows, and now it's paid off in spades. I mean, he'll keep getting paid. It's probably one of the top properties in the canyon.
Yeah, we were
talking about that yesterday.
I would guess they have the second highest ADR in the canyon right now, which is absolutely amazing because they don't have any amenities. They don't have any on-site staff.
And they opened 8 months ago.
Yeah, and they've not even been open for a year. Because last year when we were there with SUU, it was also still under construction.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week they had over a $380 ADR and over 90% occupancy.
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
So you're in those PACE meetings a lot.
Yeah.
And then we use Duetto on that property as well.
Yeah.
Which you guys, anyone listening to this should look into. Duetto partnered with WebRes Pro or another channel manager that works well. But Duetto is a really great rate and revenue manager. So what have you seen just from managing the bungalows and their rate and revenue compared against the canyon, because Duetto will pull up their comp.
Yeah, it's actually really amazing. So to Spencer's point, we met Duetto at Bytech last year.
And shout out to Bytech.
Yeah, big shout out to Bytech. If you're in hospitality, look them up. You're going to want to be there.
That's a great conference.
If you want to meet us in person, come to the one in Florida in August.
Yeah, I think it's the Independent.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yep.
But so we met these guys and I was like, what do you do? And they're like, well, we have a revenue management software. And it's like, oh. Mm-hmm. Interested, you know, because we're doing all this manual stuff and they've got this incredible automation that pulls on all their comp sets, yields their rates. And so really what we've seen Like last, if you were to book at the bungalows last Saturday night, it was over $540 a night.
Yeah.
You know, and what's so cool about that is we're yielding based on occupancy by day. Mm-hmm. So not like on the month, but literally every single day. So it's kind of like airlines, you know.
It even does it by the hour.
Yeah. So yeah, because if you hit it within that time, it'll change.
Yep.
And so I think the rates at that time started at $399. But had yielded up all the way to $540, mm-hmm. you know, because what you need to understand as hoteliers listening to this podcast today is that you should never sell your first room for the same price as your last room, no matter how many rooms you have. Because let's say you have 10 rooms. Well, if you have 0 of 10 sold, room number one is not as valuable. If you have 9 of 10 sold, then room number 10 is quite valuable because it's the only room you have left. So you better make sure that there's never a time that your last room is sold for the same price as your first room.
Mallory, that was a social clip.
Yeah, that was actually a big heavy hitter.
That was a hitter.
So right there. I think honestly, that's probably the most surprising thing I've seen in hospitality is that people don't understand that concept.
Yeah, totally. I also was thinking as you were saying that, the same is true in the area. So like as the rooms continue to get sold in Zion.
Absolutely, of course. Yeah. Because the less availability in the area that you're at, the more valuable that thing is.
Totally.
Like we all understand the general concept of supply and demand,
yeah,
and that things that are hard to attain are more expensive. It's why diamonds are expensive. They're just a rock, but because they're hard to get, they have value.
And there's only a finite amount, right?
Exactly.
Now, you can say like there's lab grown diamonds, but the stuff that comes from the earth, that it's a finite amount, right? The same thing with gold.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what creates value.
Exactly.
And so understanding your business, how you can create that value.
Yep.
And then the other thing that's unique too is that there is a consumer and an audience out there that when something's more expensive, it's deemed to be nicer. Regardless of that fact, right? And so, like, there's this great story about a gift shop in Springdale that they had this like beautiful turquoise necklace, and they had it for sale for like $95 for like forever, and no one ever bought it. And they're like, oh, I thought for sure this would do good. So one day they're like, you know what? We're just going to make it $1,500, and it sold that day.
Oh, what?
Because
that's
it
amazing.
Was like someone saw it and thought like, wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Look at this rare find. Like this is amazing, you know?
Wow.
And so I think you got to really, really be consciously aware of how you're pricing your property
totally.
And using it to your advantage. And also understand that like you don't necessarily want to be at 100% occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are, let's say you are at 100% and there's a guest issue or a room issue, then you're paying for them to go stay somewhere else at this point because you've got nowhere to move them.
Oh, yeah, you're right? SOL.
And if you're at 100% occupancy always at all times, mm-hmm. then certainly the wear and tear on your property is higher. All of your usage is higher. Your housekeeping expenses more. And so what mm-hmm. we're really trying to do is get to that 85% occupancy sweet spot. That's for all independents. Because
totally.
If you're flagged like a Cliff Rose, we have occupancy thresholds we need to hit.
Yep.
But at an independent where you have full control, you want to be at that space. You know, you want to be at about 85% occupancy. Everything's going to last longer. It's going to be more affordable to maintain your stuff. Your FF&E is going to last longer. That's really the sweet spot. And so at that point, you're charging so much for a room that it's like, it's amazing if we take it, we'll be at 100%.
Yeah.
But we're not giving that thing away.
Totally.
You know, we're happy to have it go unsold.
Yep. I was talking to an independent hotel owner that we don't work with yet. I would imagine probably for the next 2 weeks we will work with.
Yeah.
So I won't spill the beans on that. But I was sharing the same idea because their idea has been let's get to 100% occupancy every single night, which means that their rates are almost a race to the bottom.
Sure.
So that they can fill
it. It's the only
way
to do it.
That's the only way to do it. It's just price yourself the cheapest, which is fascinating because the rooms are actually very, very nice and they're underselling them almost by double, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So when I was talking to this owner, I was talking about how we shoot between 80 and 90%, so 85% occupancy. And this is a Canadian property, so like a hockey stick, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Just in profitability, I just lost my train of thought.
You're more profitable on your rooms at the end.
And also just like we were talking like there, he's trying to cater just to transient travelers, but he's in such an amazing.
Is he in a city?
Yeah, it's a good sized city. It's like a St. George sized
city.
Yeah. And there's tourism everywhere there.
Okay.
World-class skiing is right around the corner. Canyoneering, climbing.
Got it.
You can do whatever you want in this place, right? But he, you know, length of stay promos, right? Or he had partnered with Stash, right? Like trying to open up that funnel.
Smart.
But something like a length of stay, which was like mind-blowing for him, right? And that's such an easy thing because that just means you don't have to do turnover. And then even their GM was like, oh, yeah, I never thought about trying to upsell an extra night in a room in exchange for a percent off.
Yeah.
But that's such a no-brainer. But it only makes sense if you're not in a race to the bottom, right? When you sell rooms for $100 a night.
Right. Then you can't be giving them a discount on top of a highly discounted room. And right. really, your point of length of stay is so important because, yes, we want the 85% threshold, but the most important thing to us is length of stay.
Totally.
Because to your point, you're not doing that because at ours, we're not full service outside of Cliff Rose. So none of our properties are doing stay over service. Mm-hmm. So then you're cleaning the room less. You've already acquired that customer, which every customer has an acquisition cost.
Yep.
And so if you've got 7 days to rent a room, you don't want to have to spend that acquisition cost seven times.
Totally.
You'd like to spend it twice. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And then you're also only cleaning the room twice as opposed to seven.
Yep.
The profitability, to your point, of the hockey stick is unbelievable on extra nights of stay. Like if you were a math major and you could figure out the equation, which one of our partners has, you would be shocked to understand how much and how quickly the profitability changes on every additional night that the guests stay at the property. And so that's why for all of our properties, our call to action is always a length of stay promo, because there's nothing that gives you a bigger return as a property owner than length of stay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And when you couple that with a high ADR, because we're yielding up, right? Mm-hmm. Then that discount that you're giving them for the length of stay is negligible because you've already driven your rates up and you're encouraging direct bookings. So you're saving any commission that you would be sacrificing
to an OTA or something
in
like
some
that.
Other platform.
Something that just came to mind is other promos that we've tried for our independents. Like, do you remember last year when we tried like gas card promos?
Yeah, yep.
So one thing I noticed is that those sound really good because a lot of our properties are in a drive market.
Yeah.
But I've just learn, and the Utah Luxury Tours is a really great example of this, that consumers respond better to either percent off or a dollar figure off.
Yeah.
Because to them, it has a higher value.
Or like a free night.
Yeah, like a free night, right? Than something like a $50 or a $75 gas card, because it still implies that they're going to have to spend that money instead of saving the money.
Right.
Which is interesting, right? Because you'd think that that's the better deal.
Yeah. We've tried so many different promos and nothing as successful as length of stay.
Length of stay for sure. We just sent out a really great promo for Utah Luxury Tours. And just because of this stupid, it's been good, but we've got just an absurd amount of snow
ridiculous
in the state of Utah right
now.
Right. And so it's just pushed really bookings across hospitality back. We're starting to see it trickle and get a lot better now. But this tour company, which takes you on amazing luxury tours, really was just needing more leads. And so we came up with a really great promo. We emailed it out and bam, overnight leads filled up. Amazing.
Nothing better than that for a client when you're able to.
It felt really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was such a giant win for
because we're in it with
team.
Them. You know, we need and want them to succeed just the same way that they need and want to succeed.
1000%. And that was a dollar off promo. And they had tried promos like a Yeti cooler, gas cards, paying for national parks passes, things like that. But as soon as we entered a flat dollar off, so instead of like tiering it, it was just a fixed dollar off, it lit up overnight.
That's awesome.
Huge change.
So exciting to hear that success. You know, there's nothing that feels better than that.
Yep.
Because you never know what's going to work. You know, it's through trial and error, just like what you talked about. They had to try a bunch of different topics and different promos and ideas and see what worked. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, people just care about their pocketbook.
Always.
You know what I mean? And they want a value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what they want to find.
Well, remember, we were at the Cliff Rose yesterday, and as soon as we talked about the conversion from independent to Curio, and how we were at a revenue
threshold.
Ceiling.
We
couldn't get past this threshold until we moved into the Hilton. And really all that changed was just some rooms had been updated, right?
Yeah. Like
we had to go through a Hilton PIP.
Yeah.
But as soon as we did that and the rates dramatically increased, right?
Huge. I mean, when we did our pro forma for the bank, they're like, these rates aren't real. Like, you're never going to hit these kind of rates. And we surpassed every single one. And now we've been open long enough that I think the performer went out for 5 years. And so we've got like, what, it was 2019. So we have 4 years of data.
Uh-huh.
It surpassed it every single year.
I thought it was really interesting how Arnold talked about how we were at a revenue ceiling and the guests would come and they were okay guests and, you know, they'd enjoy the park. But as soon as we moved it to a higher revenue threshold and a nightly threshold and part of the Hilton family, the guests no longer cared about the price. They just cared that certain things were done, like the rooms were nice.
I loved how he said that. They don't care how much they have to pay. They just want things done a certain way.
Correct. And it's all obviously in that Hilton PIP, right? Like they're going to expect that certain brand standard,
right?
But they no longer cared about the cost.
So
now you're getting a completely different
consumer base.
And you open your hotel to a whole new group of guests.
Absolutely. It's amazing too, going back and telling that story yesterday, to remember that when we did that, there was not a four diamond or higher property in southern Utah, right? Until you got out to Hom and Geary. But within that circle, excluding them, it never existed, you know? And then the Cliff Rose really led the charge in that. And so now you've got some more coming online, and then you got the Avenir down in St. George, and two more luxury properties that are going to open in St. George, and and some others sprinkled around the canyon. So it's amazing to see, like, that really open people's eyes to, like, whoa.
Yeah, well, they're going to put an autograph just down the road now.
Well, that's right. Yeah, so the La Quinta just sold for an outrageous
amount of money.
You know, I don't know if it's okay to share that or not, but it's a lot. It's somewhere between $0 million and $100
million. Correct.
So take the aggregate and you can figure it out. But, and that's the amount of money they spent to then start the conversion.
Correct.
Right? That's just to acquire the property. Now they've got to put all the money in to get it up. And it's a great property. It's not going to be this overly extensive pit, but it is still going to be it. I would guess another 4 to 10 million to get it to the level that it needs to be, you know, which is just shocking. And that's where all the investment is in hospitality, I feel like.
Yeah.
All the big money is coming in on these luxury products because, well, I think we've seen, especially through like COVID and stuff and the economic instability that we've had, is that the luxury properties still do well. Because generally speaking, the people visiting those properties are a little bit more insulated from the ups and downs of the economy.
Disposable income, even in a recession.
Yeah, right. Yep. So I think that's why you're seeing so much success for that. So then let's see. So we talked about, we got to Canyonland Village, then we went to Bungalows. We talked about Travis being there and how cool that was. And really, when he told the story of just, I started
cutting boxes,
breaking down boxes, that was pretty epic.
So cool. I didn't even know that part.
I didn't either. You could see the students, like the look on their faces. Like, I think it gave them belief. You know,
for sure,
to be like, wow, I can do this. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we went over to Wildflower, which was really cool because their pool is filled up now.
Yeah.
And that is just like one of the coolest pools in the area.
It is so great.
The views you have, and they've got that huge, amazing deck. And what was so nice to see is someone finally designed a hot tub for a resort in the right way.
That makes sense.
You know, a bunch of people can be in there
totally
and be comfortable and not feel like they're sitting on other people or that they don't even want to get in.
Yep.
Because, you know, you'll see a 200 room hotel with a hot tub that sits like six people comfortably.
Yeah, right.
Like, what are you doing? Uh-huh. You know? And so I highly recommend get onto Wildflower's Instagram or their website. I don't know if it's loaded yet. Do we have any imagery of the new hot tub up?
There's a little bit on their Instagram, but there isn't anything on their website.
Okay, so stay tuned because now that it's getting filled up, we'll get the furniture soon. Keep an eye on it.
Yep.
It's amazing. I mean, totally changes the desire to go there.
Yeah.
Gives you a whole nother reason. Now that improves their length of stay because you can stay there longer now. You know, and it's got everything. This incredible hot tub in the middle of it. I mean, Wildflower, what they've done is really incredible.
It opens the door for like family retreats, family reunions.
Absolutely. And all those beautiful grass yards. And we were just talking that we want to do Vibrance quarterly retreat there because it really is just an amazing property.
You know what's funny that you just said about how some of these big hotels just have tiny hot tubs?
Yeah.
Kayla and I are going to Hawaii in 2 weeks. We're seeing at the Grand Naniloa, which is a DoubleTree by Hilton.
Yeah.
I was surprised that DoubleTree had a name.
Some DoubleTrees. So like the DoubleTree in Park City, the Yarrow.
Okay.
DoubleTrees have a little bit of flexibility where they're dipping their toes between like a soft flag and a brand. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a few DoubleTrees that exist that are in that space.
Okay. So this is one of them then. That thing doesn't have a hot tub.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
That's surprising. I mean, even though it's in Hawaii, you'd still think it would have a hot tub. That's weird.
It does have a pool. It's not huge.
It's not a huge pool. And it's a big hotel.
Big.
Yeah. I was surprised when I looked, because I had also looked at that property before, and it's like, that just doesn't, like, that's not a resort pool.
No, it is not a resort
pool. Like, if you had a whole lick of families, like, you'd got nowhere to go. In fact, that pool may be smaller than my pool.
I think it actually is smaller than your pool.
When you go, please walk it, because I believe that pool is smaller than the pool.
I'll walk your pool next Monday at our L10, and then I'll walk that pool, and I will.
And we will update the audience. I'm telling you, I think it's smaller. And maybe it's deceiving because I'm looking at a picture next to the huge hotel. Maybe it just looks small.
No, it looks tiny.
It looks very small.
I watched some YouTube videos of it just to see, like, is this hotel, like, good? And I've only stayed at a couple Double Trees, and they were great. But this,
yeah, I'd say overall, I like Double Trees.
Yeah,
I think cookies are delicious.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that yet.
Oh, yeah, when you check in, you get a hot chocolate chip cookie.
This hotel is interesting. They're, like, asking me to get... the GM at the Cliff Rose to sign something that says I'm actually a team member.
Oh, wow. Probably because all the Hawaii properties have like a problem with people trying to finagle it, you know?
Yeah, I got to do that. I am a team member. Let it be
known. And it says, do you have the Hilton team member thing in your wallet?
No.
So you can take your Hilton Honors member and put it into your wallet. And so it's like your team member card. And so it says...
My digital wallet?
Yeah.
We'll have to do that.
It says team member on there. And then that, because you know, when you go to restaurants, you get 50% off food and beverage.
Right.
And so you show them that. So that way they know you're a team member.
Okay. We're doing that after this podcast. Okay. They asked me about that. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. You just put it in your wallet.
Okay, good to know.
I'll show you after this.
Yep. All right. So we're going to that hotel. It doesn't have a hot tub, but it has this massive, like, big grass area, and it has chairs everywhere, and it looks right into the ocean.
It's right on the ocean, right?
Yeah, and we got a balcony room that looks into the ocean.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be great. We're really excited about that. But I did observe it didn't have a hot tub. I was very surprised.
Are you direct out of Vegas to there?
We stop in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And then we're flying to Kona.
Okay, so you're on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so we fly to Kona, but it's in Hilo, so it's across the island. And Hilo has an airport too, but for whatever reason, the flights were three times as expensive to go to Hilo.
Wow, so what are you doing, renting a car, or do you do like a hopper over there?
No, I got like a thrifty $30 a day.
Nice. Oh, yeah. How far of a drive is it?
It's only like an hour.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
I mean, it's Hawaii, right? Like everything's inside of an hour.
Yeah.
So, but they are on opposite sides, but like, well, maybe we'll stick around in Kona. Like, that's where Kona Coffee's from, and Kona Brewery. So we'll have a great time. And there's a winery that is like up on the volcano.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I've never been on the Big Island.
I haven't either. This is my first time.
That's fun.
I've done Maui a couple times, Oahu before, but I've never done the Big Island.
No. That's going to be awesome.
It will be great. And they have some amazing beaches just right down the road from us.
I can't wait to hear about the pool.
I know you're excited about the pool. I won't be in the pool once.
Go to the ocean. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It doesn't really matter if you're on the beach. You don't have to have, the pool is not as big of a drive.
No, but now I was thinking about it because I thought maybe the hotel would be busy, but if the rooms were on team member, then maybe the hotel's not.
And that hotel is like the one hotel that's most frequently on team member in Hawaii.
I have looked for the Waldorf.
I found it one time.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, one time. Actually, one of our old team members had it. The Waldorf for like a week.
What?
One team member.
No way.
But then it was like COVID happened, and I think they canceled all the reservations, but they got it before COVID. So they got it.
Wow.
Like, yeah. I don't know how they did that, but.
Yeah. I check almost every week.
I know. I want to go to the Petrigal in Cabo. It's a Waldorf now, and it's got all individual pools. It's like built into a cliff.
Sick.
With these balconies, and it's like normally. Uh-huh. $2,000 a night or something. So it's
nice.
Like, I'm probably, never going to get it, but I look all the time.
Yeah. Kayla and I have the travel bug. So we're like looking at the Hiltons all around the world. There's like LXRs in Thailand.
Oh yeah.
Always on team member.
Oh yeah. Cause it's so far. I'll do a quick plug for American Express. American Express has the Aspire card. And if you're a Hilton fan, this is the card to have. Uh-huh. $500 a year annual fee, but you get $200 Hilton credit every year. So you're definitely using that.
For
no
sure.
problem.
Yep.
You're getting a $200 airline credit. So like guaranteed just on your trip alone, like this trip to Hawaii, $200 Save. Airline credit, boom, bang.
Yep.
$200 Hilton credit, bang, taken care of, right?
Yep.
And then you get one free weekend night every year. And I'd never used it before because
a free weekend night every year?
Yeah.
And at any Hilton?
Yeah.
So are you resorts worlding that?
No. So I'm going to go. So I was talking to Megan. I was like, we should just go finally use this, because we've never used. I've just always let them expire.
Oh, man, that's a great deal.
I didn't know how it worked.
What?
And it's actually super easy. I just called this number. They were like, oh, yep, I see your award right here. And so I booked us a Waldorf in Vegas in July, just free.
Nice.
And the room was like $600 that night. So
So any Hilton.
Yeah. So you can go to Del Coronado. The problem is it's one weekend night, right? So it's like if you pick some, like if you got
so
the
you could go like a Friday night,
yeah,
okay.
or Saturday night. But let's say you did it at the Petrigal in Cabo,
yeah,
you'd want to have another hotel after,
as a backup,
yeah. right? That you're going to go spend the rest because you're not going to stay there for a weekend; it's too expensive.
Hell no.
But yeah, so it was super easy. It took me like 5 minutes. I called the number.
I'm putting this on my to-do list. I'm switching my
Oh, it's the best card there is. And the points for Hilton, like if you really are a Hilton consumer, the points rack up so fast, it's unbelievable. So, I mean, that's each of the last 2 years I've taken my family on spring break to the Hilton All-Inclusives in Mexico.
Yeah.
We went to Cancun last year and Tulum this year, and I paid for those with just points. And not a lot of points either, like 400,000 points, which is...
Are you a credit card user or a debit card user?
I only use the Aspire card because, I mean, like I looked up that if I paid for my family to go to that Hilton All-Inclusive in Tulum,
yeah,
I think it was like $6,000 is what it would have been. And I got it for free by using my points. So I use my Aspire card for everything. I mean, I literally get to take my family on an all-inclusive vacation every single year.
Yeah.
And it's only about a quarter of what the points are I accumulate over the course of a year.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's the best card in the game.
Well, I put it on my to-do list. I'm signing up for that.
Yeah, no, you need to. Anyone listening, if you're a Hilton fan, go get yourself the Aspire card.
Yeah, I have an Amex and right now.
Hit me a DM and I'll send you a referral link. I get more points, you get more points, we all win.
I need that link.
I'll send it to you after this.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so anything else you wanna cover before we wrap up for the day?
No, unless we're going to get into those four tips.
Oh my gosh. Next time. We'll talk about the tips in the beginning because the idea behind the tips is that you'd listen to the end of the podcast to get them, but we forgot to mention that.
Whoops.
But if you're still listening, you're going to get some great value. And for those listeners who are religiously listening to the podcast, know that we'll end every podcast with some tips. So there's always value for you. We'd love you to listen to the whole thing, but even if you want to fast forward to the end, you know,
totally,
that's
fine.
Okay. You know, you don't have to listen.
Miss out
to
on some great stories.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that, but you certainly could. So, the tips that we have for you are four tips for building a successful hotel website. And I'll give the first one. So mine is a call to action. There's nothing more important than having a call to action when you arrive on your website, because if you're going to spend all this money and create all these funnels to drive people to your booking and not have a call to action that's easily accessible and like right in your face, then what's the point? Because if they get there and can't figure out what it is you're trying to drive them to, then that's an ineffective use of your marketing spend. And so we are big fans of pop-ups. I know there's people on either side of that coin, but we've really found that it works. I mean, when you look at our scorecards for our properties, the thing that we're always using as our call to action is that length of stay. And it's amazing how many promo bookings we get every single week because of that.
Totally.
As soon as you arrive on the site, you know instantly, this is the best offering that we have for you. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to do any research. It's just right there. And you can click the booking link immediately as soon as you land. And so that, I think, is the number one most important thing. Have a call to action on your website.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Tip number two is to use a real website developer, a real website building platform. And a lot of new hoteliers or just business owners in general get sucked into the trap of like Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, and they're really good beginner platforms. But when you start getting serious and you're actually trying to acquire good guests, you want to be built on something more robust that's customizable. We love building in WordPress. There are other solutions, but WordPress is just the best one.
Absolutely. You're going to want to be on a platform.
I think that's in my camera.
You want to be on a platform that gives you the opportunity to grow. Yeah,
correct.
Tip number three is content. So content in so many ways, right? Like you want good professional imagery. So we built a site for a glass company, and we built it before we had the content, and it just wasn't popping. And then we brought in when we knew we were going to, but we just had to get it started before. Mm-hmm. And so then we brought in our professional photographer and videographer, made some highlight videos, got amazing content. If you want to see the website I'm talking about, it's FauzGlass, FausGlass.com. And the site absolutely changed because of the photography. And same thing with like the bungalows, because we built that website before they were open.
Yep.
So we just had like some cell phone pictures that were taken and mm-hmm. stuff. And the website just didn't have that pop that you want. Now, if you go to the bungalows at zion.com, it's unbelievable how much you're just like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, even like Audrey from Stash was like, oh my gosh, the team was just raving about these pictures. They couldn't believe we're going there. So invest the money in a professional photographer, because yes, you can take it on your cell phone, or yes, you can take it with a camera, but you will always get back that return on investment of paying a professional photographer to get your content for you. So I highly recommend that. And then just really, really good content and SEO.
Absolutely. Tip number four, your website will never be complete. It will be launched. You'll always have changes because your property or your business is going to change. So tip number four is to have a professional development team on standby. This coincides with tip number two, to use WordPress. You're just going to want someone to make aesthetic changes, picture changes, content changes, copy changes, page changes, build a new page, add a blog. The list of website requirement and work that happens on just on a weekly basis is a laundry list. And if you're not doing that, then you're really missing out on an opportunity for growth. And it's how Google indexes you and you get found on your website. So if you own a hotel and you're not updating your website at least biweekly, you're missing out on a huge opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. That thing's got to evolve and be a living, breathing organism.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Well, those are our four tips. That wraps us up for today. Please make sure you subscribe, leave us a review on wherever platform you listen to us, whether it's YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find us. Let's get some
Spotify reviews. We don't have many of those
yet. Yes, please get on Spotify, leave us a review, subscribe. And then we have our Instagram going now, Virtual GM Podcast. We've got some content on there from last week's episode. Help us grow that and let us know if there's any way that we can support you better. Any topics you want to hear, just let us know.
If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, email me, spencer@thevibrantteam.com, or shoot me a DM on LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you next Friday.
See you, everyone.